The Eddy B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther and Moshe ben Nuna. Ruach Hashem Tanichem b'Gan Eden Amim. We begin today's daf on Pehe Amud Bet. We are on the bottom of the daf. Quote from the Mishnah: En mevi'im lo mebet zevalim. We cannot bring the shemen, the oil, from Bet Zevalim. Bet Zevalim was a field that was fertilized. Different reasons. Some say that the oil is inferior. Some say the oil has a smell. Mishnah continued and said, you're not allowed to bring oil that's called Anpikinon. And if you brought the oil that's called Anpikinon, it's Pasul. We don't know what it is, but it's Pasul. Right. Correct. Right. The Mishnah was Pasul. Ve'atanya en mevi'im anpaktan ve'im mevi pasul mepenei shehu seraf, because it's not even considered oil, it's considered mohal, it's considered the sweat of the unripened olives. So there's a stira here somewhere. Stira is the Mishnah's mashma, it's oil, it is oil, it's just pasul. Here it's mashma, it's not even oil. Mishnah calls it oil because it's included in the Shemani. If you look at Rashi Ketav Yad, he defines the question for us. The Pnei Shu Seraf Moal Be'alma Ve'echi Hashiv Le'matnitin Ba'de Shemanim Pesulim. The Mishnah calls it a Shemen Pesul. The Mekol Makom Shemen Karila. The Mishnah calls it a Shemen, but from the brightness, it's not even oil. It's a Moal. So Amar of Yosef Nakashia Har Bichia Har Bishmon Barbi. The Rabbi Chaya Zarikle. Rabbi Chaya, he would throw this shemen and pikinon. He wouldn't even eat it. Because what he held was an oil. Zarikle, you throw it away. It wasn't edible, it wasn't oil. The Rabbi Shimon Barbi, Mitabel Be. But the Bishmon Barbi, he would eat it. He would dip his bread in it. Like a condiment. So he held it was oil. So there's a machloket, if it's oil or not. How are you going to remember who held it was oil and who held it was not oil? The simanach, ashirin mekametzin. The rich people, they're the cheap ones. Which means, the rich one is Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi, the son of Rabbi. So he's saving it, he's eating it as a condiment. Not a rabbi, you throw it away. You see, the ashir is mekametz, the rich guy is mekametz. Look at Rashi, Ketav Yad. The Rabbi Chaya Zarikle. לאנפקינים, זה לא חשיב לשמן כלל, he didn't know the shemen at all. עשירים מקבסים, רבי שמעון שערי בן נשיא, right, he's the son of the נשיא, ועשיר היה קומסו ואוכלו, קמסן, קמסן, עצלן, one that a penny pincher, say he saves. שישה חודשים בשמן המור, that's by Esther, we're talking about oil now, right? So we're going to go talk about oil. It says the girls, before they would go to see Ahasuerush, they would have 6 months with special treatment in Shemen Amor, special Mor oil. My Shemen Amor, what is Shemen Amor? Rabbuna b'rachaya Amar, Setachta. That's the Shemen Aparsimon, balsam. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'rabba Amar Shemen Zayit, Shilu Evishlish. It's oil that comes from olives that did not ripen only up to a third. Special oil. What does this oil do? Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Pekanon, which the Mishnah talked about, also, Shemen Zayit Shlo Evishlish. So according to that, that's more. According to one opinion. Lama Sachinoto, why did they put Shemen Amor on the body? Shemashir et Tasear. It's a depilatory. It removes the hair and leaves the skin, the flesh, shiny. En mevi'in min hagergirin shenishiru b'mayim. Quote from the Mishnah. You cannot bring olives that were soaked in water. You cannot bring from olives that were pickled. Tarabbanan, shemen zayit kavush. Kavush is pickled. Shaluk is cooked. Sharui, soaked in water. Veshil Shimarim, that's like the sediments of the olives. Veshil Reyach Ra, who has a bad odor. Lo Yavi, Feminachot. Vimevi, Pasul. I was going to ask a question that we saw many times already. Let's say you made it kadosh. You sanctified it. Halakha, you know how to sanctify a thing has a blemish. It has a blemish. So then maybe you get malchut. Or you say, no, the law of Baal Mum only applies to animals. And therefore you know it's asur what you did, but you don't get malchut for such a thing. Come on, says, let's say, leave it in a tiku. No, you magdish it. What else is there? There's menachot. That's it. Shiloshad zetim him. Okay, the three basic different types of olives, which you're going to see based on when you pick them, based according to their ripeness. There's basically three different categories of olives. Ubaen shiloshad shiloshad shemanim. And each olive can produce three types of oil. So basically you have nine different types of oil. The three versions, and each one produces three. Dashi. Look at Dashi Ketav Yad. Shilosha Zetim, second line. Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana Melaketim Et HaZetim. But there's three times a year that you pick the olives. Mepinish She'en Mit Bashlim Bebatahat. They don't all ripen at the same time. Ubahem Shilosha Shilosha Shemanim. Bechol Pa'am Motzim Bo Shilosha Mineh Shemanim. Each time, you can produce three different oils. Mishnah explains, Hazayit HaRishon, that's the olives that ripen first in the season. So what do? It gives you the whole process. Now how do you get oil, how do you extract oil from the first pluckings of the olives? The first is Megargiro, Berosh HaZayit. I guess they grow on top of the olive tree. So first you have to pluck them from the olive tree. Vekotesh, then you grind them, you pound them in the meducha, in the grinder. Vinoten etoch hasal, and you place it in a basket. Rashi, Hazayit HaRishon, Kelomar, Pa'am Rishona Shemelaket, Megargero Berosh HaZayit, Noten Umelaket Gargit Sheberosh HaZayit. It seems the ones that are on the top of the zayit tree, they ripen first. Shem Mevashlim Tehila, for the simple reason, because the sun is on top of the tree. Lefisha Hama Mekaderet Aleinu Bashelam. The sun ripens them first. Letoch Hasal Umstatenan VeYotze VeAkli Ta'at Hasal Shemen Nofel Bo. You put it into a basket that has holes, in order that the oil that will ooze out will drip out, and you put a basket underneath it. So the basket underneath it catches the oil. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Sivivot Hasal. Okay, you don't put it in the basket itself, on the base of the basket, but you put it Sivivot Hasal. The basket was like this, it was Mishupa. The basket like had an incline, a slope. So you put the olives on the side of the basket, they would ooze out on the side and come into the basket. Okay. Well, we'll see now the pressing, yes. Well, yeah, he reached the press, yes. You have to press. V'chotesh, nobody argues. V'chotesh. Okay. He held that if you put it on the bottom, some sediments are going to come out with it. So he didn't want sediments to come out with it. So by putting it on the sides, we just ooze the oil itself and the sediments would stay. Look at Ashir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Sivivot. Dofne hasal notno metocho v'shemen zav derech hadefanot. And oil oozes from the sides of the walls. V'nofen l'shule hasal. Umisham mesatenan v'yotze. From there, it is like sifted into the keli, into the next keli. V'yotze v'nimsa shemim mezukak shapsolet v'apikatin nidbakim v'dofne asal. That's his point. All the sediments will stick to the side of the keli. Aba lo yitrim v'shule asal. But don't put it on the bottom of the basket, because in the bottom of the basket, all the stuff is mixed up, the sediments and all that, and it's not going to be shemen mezukak. It's not going to be more refined. Continue the Mishnah. Rishon. I'm sorry. Ze Rishon. This is called Zayit Rishon. This is called the first press, the first oil. B'to'en b'kora. Now you take the kora, which is like the beam, and you second press. You press it again. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'avanim. Okay, so you don't use a wood press, you use stone press. Zeh sheni. And whatever comes out now is called second press. Hazar v'tahan v'ta'an. Then you grind the grapes again. Grapes, the olives again. And whatever comes out, zeh shenishi. That's called third press. Harishon menorah v'ashal menachot. As we know, for the menorah, it's got to be first press. Shemen zayit zach katit lamaor. So the rabbis learn from this, it's got to be first press. Second, third is no problem for menachot. So the first one's for the menorah, then for the look at the she. Harishon lemenorah deba'in and shemen zayit zach v'sheni kashil lemenachot lo katit behuzach. Correct. Doesn't say the word zach by menachot. Therefore, we don't, you can even use, as the more you press it, the more cloudy it is, or less refined it is. So you can use it for menachot. Okay. Hasheni. Now we talk about the second time you collect the olives. Second part of the season. Megargero berosh agag. You collect the ones that are on top of the roof. I guess, not on the roof, mamash, I mean, it's a tree. The ones that are next to the roof. The height is next to the roof, exactly. That's the second tier of the tree that ripens next. Vekotesh venoten etoch hasal. Rabbi Yehuda omer svivot hasal. Ze rishon, to'en bakora, v'Rabbi Yehuda omer v'abanim. Ze sheni, hazar v'tachan v'ta'an. Ze shelishi, harishon menorah v'ashal menachot. And then it's the same exact process that we mentioned. Shelishi. The third time that you're collecting, otno. Okay, otno is that you gather whatever's left on the tree at that point, and you put it in what's called a ma'atan, gigit, a vat. Okay, a vat is the right word. Good. Bebet habad, in the pressing place, ad sheyilke. Until they become soft. You see, they're hard, these olives. So they need more process. So you leave them in the vat, soaking, until they become soft. They become soft and they look different. Then you dry them, because it has mohal on them. It has like some sweat on the olives. So you dry them on the roof. Kotesh venoten to chasal, Rabbi Yehuda omer svivot tasal. Ze rishon, to'en bakora, Rabbi Yehuda omer ba'abanim. Ze sheni, chazar v'tahan, v'tahan, ze shlishi, harishon l'menorah, v'ashe'ar, l'menachor. And then you do the same process that we said before. Look at Hashi. Megargero berosh agag. Melaket et hagargirim hasimuchim legag. Like was mentioned, the ones that are close to the roof. That's what they used to grow their trees next to the roofs. They're the second ripings. Okay, we saw that already. Otno, Hashem Ma'atan. Otno is the process of putting it in the Ma'atan, in that vat. The mitoch shemeasfo bekli yachad arba'a b'chamisha yamim zav me'elab me'en mohal. That's the problem. Practically, you put it in the vat, it's oozing out sweat, which is not nice. So therefore, you have to put it on the roof to dry it out from the sweat, and then you press it to get out the oil. Shenu yafir v'ichak sarich lenagim oil. You dry it off on the roof. That's the Mishnah. Gemara. We said the first oil is taken from the olives that are on top of the tree. The Mishnah's language was Megargero berosh hazayit. Right, you pluck them from on top of the zayit. Ibaya lehu megargero tenan or megargelo tenan. What is the right text in the Mishnah? Megargero or megargelo? What is the difference? Look at Rashi. Yeah, megargero tenan. Sheloket gargir kan megargir kan. Fishaden eno mevushal. Right, you have to select. Because if you're picking now from the first groupings, so you pick a gargir over here, over there, you select where the parts of the tree have ripened yet, and you pick them. O megalgelotenan. Shemanicho berosh hazayit ad shemibushal me'elav. Or you leave it on the tree until it's ripened by itself. So do you pick it or do you leave it? Okay, so just, are you picking from which ones are ripened yet, or are you leaving it there till they all become ripened? Megalgelo, meaning this one's ripened, take that one and go that one. Oh no, megalgelo, leave it there till they all become ripened. That's the she'elah, what is it? Tashema! Netanya, shemen zayit. The guy made a neder. I'm bringing shemen zayit for the menorah. Mizzeto. So he has to bring it from the shemen that comes out of the oil, out of the olive by itself. Mikan amru, zayit rishon megalgelo berosh zayit. Megalgelo, it says. You leave it on top of the tree. Ve'konsole bet abad, and you bring it into the pressing house. Ve'tochano barechayim, and you grind it with the mill. Ve'notno basalim. Shemen ayotzim emenu ze'aya rishon. Ta'an bakora shemen ayotzim emenu ze'aya asheni. Ve'chazar uparak tachan ve'ta'an ze'aya shilishi. Ha'rishon la'menorah v'ashe'ah la'menachot. Ve'chen zayit sheni. וזית שלישי עותנו לבית הבד עד שילקה או מעלה לראש הגג ועושה אותו כמין תמרה. You put it on top of the roof and you make it like a pile of כמין תמרה. What is a תמרה? A pile in the shape of a date. It's wide. The date is wide on the bottom, so it looks like wide on the bottom and gets narrow on the top. עד שיזובו ממעב, until it drains it out, all the moal that's on it. וחוצו לבית הבד ותוחנו ברחיים ונותו בשרים ושמן היוצא ממנו זה היה ראשון טען בקורה שמן היוצא ממנו זה היה שני פרק חזר וטען וטען זה היה שלישי הראשון למנורה והשעה למנחות. But what do you see from here? מגלגלו. The language of the writer was מגלגלו. You leave it on the tree until they all become ripened. Rashi. Four lines from the bottom. מכאן אמרו הזית הראשון מגלגלו וקונסול לבית הבד, אבל לא לבית הבד ממש עד שיצא שמן הראשון על ידי סלים. Which means you want to put it in the basket. According to this, you don't want to press them. You want the first, you put it in the basket. Whatever comes out first is considered the choice. היינו שיהיה הזית בשל כל כך. It's so ripe. Ad shehu ta'un shemen be'odo al ha'etz. Meaning it's already oozing oil when it's on the tree. Be'obet shehu si shemen be'li ta'ina. You don't have to grind it. You don't have to press it even. That's the shemen nishon. So that's the galgelo. Because already it's ripened fully on the tree without any issues. So that's what he says. When it says shemen zayit, he learns mizeto. יודעים שצריך שיתבשל ייבול הזדים הראשון יפה על העילן. It has to be ממש coming from the olive itself, not from pressing. מזיתו. The oil comes from the olive by itself. מזיתו. That's after. Correct, but it has to be a type of olive that already is oozing on its own from before that. Correct.
Oh, that's why you wait for.
You wait till it's totally ripened. Exactly. Megalgelo, it's already, you think it was the tree's wet. It's already oozing already. That's already the level that we have to reach. Okay? Well, yeah, well, we said that. You dry it on the gag. You just give you the shape. You just, it's processed the same. So you shape it like a temara, and so it oozes down. Okay, we continue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo ayu lo haya tochano barechayim. He says you don't use a millstone to grind the olives. Ela kocho b'machteshet. What's a machteshet? Another type of grinder.
Mortar.
What do you call it?
Mortar.
A mortar. Okay, like a. Exactly. ולא היה טוען בקורה אלא באבנים. They didn't use wood, they used stone. ולא היה נותו בשר אלא לתוך
Sivivot Tassal.
Okay, Rabbi Yehuda has a different system. You don't put it on the bottom of the side, you put it on the sides. Haguf HaKashya. We have a Kashya. Kotesh Mani. Rabbi Yehudai. Tokasal Atal Rabbanan. Okay, problem. What did it say in the Braita? It said Kotesh. Amishnah said, what do you do? Kotesh, you. You pound it. Now that's like, that's the Biyudah, by the way. Mechteshet. And then it says, you put it on the bottom of the sal. That's like Rabbanan. Who's the one who's around Mishnah then? The Mishnah said, Kotcho, and you put it on the bottom, and it's on the bottom of the sal. Could that be two different opinions? Mishi omer mechatesh, zere Biyudah. Mi omer asim etze besal, zere Rabbanan. So, Gufakash, who's the author of our Mishnah? How can you say both things? Contradictory. Who's the author? You see the Mishnah? Our Mishnah. First Mishnah that talks about the olives. Amud Rishon. What did it say? Vechotcho. And you put it on the bottom of the sal. Well, it's two different opinions. Kotesh Rabbi Yehuda. Bottom of the sal is the banan. The Gemara says, I tana savada kevate behada. Put it on the behada. Easy answer. Our Tana, he picks and chooses. He holds like the Biuda, the Gabe, Kotesh. He holds like the Bana, the Gabe. The way he put it, that's it. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. Okay, now we discuss more about the olives. Harishon, Chebarishon, En Lemala Hemenu. Okay, we had 9 levels of oil now, correct? We have 3 different olives, and each olive produces three different grades of oil. Very good. So now the Mishnah is going to tell you. Harishon Shibarishon, the best of the best. And emar laheminu, there's nothing better than that. Hasheni Shibarishon, okay, that's the second of the first group. Barishon Shibasheni, and the first of the second group. Shavin, they're equal. Hashilishi Shibarishon, the third of the first group, Bashini Shibashini, and the second of the second group, Barishon Shibashilishi Shavin, and the first of the third group also equal. Okay? Check it out. Same level, same grade. Hashilishi Shibashini, okay, the third grade of the second, Bashini Shibashilishi, and the second, Shavin. And the second and the third. The third of the second and the second of the third are equal. Shavin. Hashilishi shibashilishi. That's great. That's the ninth. And the matahimenu. That's the worst. There's nothing equal to that. That's the lowest grade. Okay. Kadusha, that part of the Mishnah is, don't think it's 1 to 9. That there are equal ones in between. The first of this one will be equal to the, you know, the second of the other ones. Second of the earlier grade. Okay. Af kona menachot hayu badin shita'anu shemen zayit zach. Oh. Badin means b'sfara. Logically, all menachot should require shemen zayit zach. First press. From a kavachomer. Ma menorah she'en ala achila te'ona shemen zayit zach menachot she'en achila en odin she'itanu shemen zayit zach. If the menorah, which is not for consumption, and still you need the best oil, the menachot that you eat, somebody eats them. So kodesh kavachomer, you should use the best oil. That logic would tell you that. If you're eating it, use the best oil. So what I says, Mishnah says no. Tamu domar zach katit la'maor. Then zach katit lamenachot. That's it. Rabbi Gizante katu gazak. Tashi menachot shem la'achila la'achilat ha'mizbeya. Of course, achilat ha'mizbeya. That mizbeya, but it's part of the mizbeya. It's God's achila kiviyachot. No, you would think. But Hashem's table. Hashem's table should be less than your table. First, he eats himself. He puts the best on the table. Hashem's table, you don't put the best. Hadush, menorah special. Menorah special. Right. And menhan, no.
Mizbeach.
So I would think you're putting Hashem's table. You don't need. Okay, Gemara. Shavin. V'amat rishon menorah v'shal menachot. How could you tell me that the different grades are equal? They're not equal. Always the first grade is kasher leminorah, and the second grades of each group are kasher leminachot only. So how could you tell me the second of the first is equal to the first of the second? What are you talking about? It's not equal. This is menorah, this is menachot. So you was going to answer for menachot, we meant. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my shavi shavi the menachot. Right, for menachot usage. We're not discussing menorah. We know that you can't use the second grade for menachot. For menorah. Av kol menachot ayu b'din tanur banan zach. Se shemen zayit zach katit lamao zach. En zach ela naki. Naki meaning tzalul. Pure. Clean. Rabbi Yehuda omer katit. Ve'en katit ela katush. So you need ketisha. Ketisha is pounding it with your mortar, as opposed to techina, grinding it. Ya'chod yehe zach katit pasula menachot. That's why I want to be mahmir. I want to use zach katit for the menachot. Be pasul tamud lomar. V'esaron solid balul b'shemen katit. Okay, so katit is kasher for the menorah also, meaning you could pound it for the menachot. Imkir matamud lomar lamaor. So why does it say katit lamaor? If we're learning now, you can use katit even for the menachot. So why do you have to tell me katit for maor? Only ela mipne ha'hissachon. Because why? To save the money. My hesachon, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Torah hasa, Amar Moram Shel Yisrael, which means, can it? It's more expensive. If you're telling me you only have to use the first press, so really you can use it if you want by menachot. So why did I only say it then by the menorah? Tell me, it's not mandatory. You don't have to. We don't want you to spend all the money. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says. Look at Rashi. Yachol ketav yad. Yachol ye katuz ze pasul marot hu ilu ketuv la maor. It says katit la maor. So maybe let's say you want to make it katit for the menacha. Im ken daft menachot kashis. If it's kashis for the menachot, bat tamud lomar la maor. Lomar lecha la maor ye katuz ze pasul marot hu ilu ketuv la maor. Katuz kashis. Mepnei asachon. The menacha shkira hi kol yoma tuva. Because they brought menachot every single day. A lot of them. Ve'ika hasaron ima der batar katit. What do you tell every guy brings a menachah? Menorah is lit once a day or twice a day. But you're going to tell a person, every guy that brings a menachah, katit, first press. How much oil do they use in the menorah? Three log a day. Three log we have a exactly. The Gemara's question, my chasachot is not asking for what terminology. They're saying, my hasagon, who cares? My hasagon. Exactly. No. What do you mean you're worried about the cost? So Gemara says, Ashiya Torah hasa. The Torah is concerned about the money of Klal Yisrael. You don't just say, stop, spend extra money. Torah says, hey, it's costly, we want to minimize the costs. Look at Ashi. Umashka hatla benikhe batim. What's the source for this, Rashi says? By Nigarim. The Kohen comes to make a ruling in the house. What does he tell the guy first? Take all your stuff out. What does he tell him? Take the stuff out. Just say it's Tameh. Because then the whole house becomes Tameh. Then the guy has a whole loss. Now he's taking everything to the mikveh. Everything gets ruined, all that. So you see the Torah suspends its halakha temporarily until the guy takes all this. Al mat Torah hasa. Now again, what are we talking about that? Im al kli etz v'kli shetef yishtem tara b'mikveh. Oh, so that she says, what are you talking about? What's the hasa over by the mitzvah? Metal vessels? Wood vessels? It's not a loss. They become tamid, dip them in the mikveh. And now what must be the Torah's worried about? Kli hayres. Kli hayres is junk. It's cheap. Because you have to, how much is Kli Haynes worth? The earthenware jug. Tachim Ketanim. And still you see the Torah was Hasa, take out all the stuff. The concern was for the stuff that you can't purify. So you see, Adke Dekach is not worried even about the small possessions of the Jew. Ela HaKli Haynes, she'en lem Tahara b'mikveh. Hasa Torah v'amra lefanotam so'itamu shum en takana. Very interesting. So therefore the Torah is worried not to overspend on the, even though I would say this is a bit of Mikdash. Maran continues. Sav et b'nei Yisrael v'yikru elecha shemen zayit zach. What do you mean elecha? Amar bishwem baramach nachmani elecha velo li. Lo le'ora ani tzarich. Exactly. Don't think that Hashem needs a chandelier in the Beit HaMikdash for light. So you're not lighting it for me. Borei Olam is the light of the world already. So you should think, oh, you know, the Beit HaMikdash is dark, so Borei Olam doesn't want to be in the dark. Hazur Shalom. Borei Olam is the light. So what are you lighting it for? Elecha. For you, you're lighting it. Meaning for your mitzvah. Rashi, Elecha, Lirtzoncha, Ularot Chibatcha Lefanai. Exactly. To show your love for me. ולא לי, בשבילי, שלא לאורה אני צריך, ולא לאכילה, שאם הייתי צריך, הייתי מצווה לתת שולחן סמוק למנורה כמנהג העולם. If I needed it to see, I would tell you, put the table next to the menorah. Normally when a person, where does he put a chandelier? Next to his table, so I can see what he's eating. So the Rashi says, if God needed the menorah for light, he would say to put the shulchan next to the menorah, so he can see what he's eating. Ela, you don't need it. Shulchan is on the other side of the menorah. Ela, you don't need it for the light. Ela, you need it for the mitzvah. Elecha. Shulchan basafon, umenorah badarom. Amar bizrika, amar bilazar. That's the proof. Lo la'achila ani tzarich, lo la'orah ani tzarich. B'diyuk, for the fact that you see the menorah and the shulchan are far away from each other, I don't need it for the light. Because otherwise I would put it like the derech ha'olam, where the shulchan is next to the menorah. Shlomo HaMelech, Bayas Labayit Chanone Shekufim Atumim. There were wide windows and also narrow. How can they be wide and narrow at the same time? Tana Shekufim Bahot Atumim Bifnim. There were certain windows that were wide on the outside and narrow on the inside, so light, a lot of light will not go in. The windows of the Beit HaMikdash was not to provide light. They built them in such a way where the light would not come into the Beit HaMikdash so much. Why? Because the frame on the outside was wide. The derech kotel abanim kishosim halom erchaimin otom befnim shemashpeim obi hakotel mikot sad kede shelo yistum yakim obi hakotel ataora melavod etzadi. They widen on the outside so the stones don't block the light. Aval aechad aya katzim befnim erchaim veolich letzad chutz kede sheora yotze meechad shtei leolam kilo leolam nitzarich. Let's give you the construction then. Yes, bederech klal bekotel aba ayu bonim et hachalot shiyu chaladim mepifnim gadol yoter mepetcha mebarut v'ayu efo hachalot cholchim et melachamim klape panim. Normally it would be wider on the inside, but here they made it narrow on the inside, which would limit the light, because you don't need it for the light. Okay, last point. Michutz laparochet da'edut bo'oel mo'ed. So it says parochet ha'edut, the parochet of testimony. What is the testimony? I do to the chol ba'ei olam. Shechina shora b'Yisrael. That the menorah was a testimony for the world that the Shechina rests in Yisrael. Im tomar le'olah nitzarich. Ve'alo kol 40 shana shalku Yisrael b'medbar lo alchu ela le'oro. When the Jewish people were in the Midbar, how do they see in the Midbar? God provided them light. Not any kavod. So don't think I need light. Adrabah, I am the light. I provide the light. Ela, Eidut Nechol Ba'al Ya'olam Shishkanet Shavim. So what are you lighting the menorah then for if it's not for light? Ela, it's called the Eidut. What's the Eidut? That God is with Am Yisrael. What's the proof? But the Gemara does not tell us yet What is the Eidut? Just because you like the menorah, why is that a testimony? So the Gemara asks, my Eidut, what is the Eidut? What is the testimony that the Shekhinah is resting in Klal Yisrael? Amar Rava Zeir Ma'arabi. That's the Neir Ma'arabi. It's a Mahlukat what Neir Ma'arabi is. Let's go, for argument's sake, the middle Neir. You have three on one side, three on the other side, and you have one in the middle. Why would that could be Neir Ma'arabi? Because the flame is facing Ma'arav. The ones on the right are facing towards the left, and the ones on the left are facing towards the right. The petilot all go towards the middle, and the middle petila is facing west. So they call that Neir Ma'arabi. But anyway, what's so special about the Neir Ma'arabi? Shenotnim ba shemen kemidat agrutea. They put the same amount of oil in the shemen of Ma'arabi, in the Ma'arabi, like they did in the other ones. Half a log. Memena haya madlik uba haya misayim. And what? It lasted longer than all the other ones. Memena haya madlik. That was the first one they lit. Uba haya misayim. Which means, when they in the morning, when they would make katavat nerot, this one was still lit. The last one that they would clean was the Neir Ma'arabi, which was still lit from the night before. They would start lighting, and that was the first one they lit. And it lasted longer than all the other ones, but in the morning, when they would clean the menorah, the last one that they would clean was the Neir Ma'arabi. To show you a miracle that what? That even though it was the same amount, that was like the barometer to know that the Shekhinah is an Am Yisrael. As long as you saw the Neir Ma'arabi last longer than all the other nerot, then you know already Hashem is with us. Look at that. See, Neir Ma'arabi. Neir Imsa'i haya pone piv lezad ma'arav. וכול שאר נרות היה פיים כלפי נר מערבי כדמי פרק שתי הלך רק כדמי נר מערבי כמידות מערבותיה חצי לוג נכתיב מערב מערב עד בוקר תן לך מדותיה שתי דולקת ועולקת מערב עד בוקר ושאולו אחים חצי לוג ממנה היה מדליק כלומר ממנה מתחיל הדלקת שאותה היה מדליק תעלה בבעיר that was the first one they lit at the night ובא היה מסיים הטבה בבוקר שאותה היה מטיב אחרון that was the last נר that they clean up לפי שכל בוקר מצא אותה דלוק. Every morning when they came to the menorah, they saw all the other nerot were out, and the Neir Ma'arabi was still lit. Sometimes it would last the whole day, till the afternoon. ומדליק ממנו כל שאר הנרות, שבבוקר היו כולן כבות חוץ מנר מערבי. ומתיר ממנו הערם הנדש, you clean it from the ashes, כדכתיב בבוקר בהתיבות הנרות, ונר מערבי דולק כל היום. Well, with Erev, it was still lit. They would light the rest of the menorah from the Neir Ma'arabi that was lit from the night before. With Erev, he would light the rest of the menorah. Mesayim, then after the dakat shahar nerot, he would mechabe otam betibah benotem b'ashem. After they lit the rest of the menorah, then they would clean it, and they would light it as well. And we'd go the whole day, 45 hours, less than the next day. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen, amen.